You ready? What is the next piece of armor? Does anybody know? Is anybody reading ahead? The shoe. The other shoe is going to fall today. Oh, there we go. So, yes, the shoe. So it's Ephesians 6:15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's these little one verses. So, the Roman soldier's shoe had two pieces. So here's the first piece, okay? And this is called the greave. And it was made of tooled metal from top of the knee and covers the shin down to the upper part of the shoe and also fits around the calf. Okay? So that's the greave part. Greave. G-R-E-A-V-E. And then it comes down to the shoe. I've got one of my shoes here. I almost pulled my white spike shoes for golf, but then you would probably wonder if the Roman soldier's name was Pat Boone. So, but anyway, so the bottom of the shoe was covered with brass, sides of leather strips. The bottom of the shoe was affixed with dangerous spikes 1 to 3 inches long. Okay, so they had spikes on the bottom of the hobnails, yeah. So, we'll talk about that more, but that's how that shoe was. It was like this, okay? One on top of the other. So, to be shod. So, what is this shod stuff here? Hupodioma, and that means under and to bind. So, very tightly, not loose fitting. That's what it meant. To be very tight and not loose fitting. So, some of you probably know this poem, but this is a famous battle between Richard III and Henry, the Earl of Richmond. And what was happening is that the morning of the battle, the groom came to the blacksmith and said, "The king wishes to ride at the head of his troops." "You'll have to wait," the blacksmith answered. "I've shod the king's whole army the last few days, and now I've got to get more iron." "I can't wait," the groom shouted. "The king's enemies are advancing right now. We must meet them on the field. Make do with what you have." So the blacksmith bent to his task. He hammered and shaped and fitted them in the horse's shoe. He says, "I need one or two more nails, and it will take some time to hammer them out." "I told you I can't wait," the groom said. "I hear the trumpets now. Can't you just use what you've got?" "I can put the shoe on, but I'm not sure it's going to be secure." "Will it hold?" asked the groom. "It should," said the blacksmith, "but I can't be certain." "Well, then just nail it on," he said, "and hurry, or King Richard will be angry with both of us." So they enter into the battle, and Henry sees that his troops are pulling back. So what he does from far away on the other side of the field, he spurred his horse and galloped toward his broken line, calling on his soldiers to turn and fight. He was bravely halfway across the field when one of his horse's shoes fell off. The horse stumbled and fell, and Richard was thrown to the ground. Before the king could grab at the reins, the frightened animal rose and galloped away. Richard looked around him. He saw his soldiers running and Henry's troops closing in. He waved his sword in the air. A horse, my kingdom for a horse. But there was no horse for him. His army had fallen to pieces, and his troops were busy trying to save themselves. A moment later, Henry's troops were upon Richard, and the battle was over. And since that time, the people have said this poem. For the want of a nail, a shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For want of a horse, a battle was lost. For want of a battle, a kingdom was lost, and all for the want of a horseshoe nail. So, how important is peace to be firmly tied on? Because these are the shoes of peace. And we just think about peace, and it's like, oh, peace, peace, peace. It needs to be firmly tied on. If it's loose and gets knocked off or out of kilter, you're going to lose a kingdom. That's what it says, for the loss of a kingdom. And there's two things that need to be bound real close. And one is Isaiah 26:3, And you know this one, the steadfast of mind thou will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. So the mind, and what does it say? What's the end result of that? Trust. I have so many people. I have a guy yesterday, and I know he has been bounced around in church and stuff like that, but he says, I don't trust God. I don't trust God. I said, well, who do you trust? Yourself? He says, I know it sounds crazy. He says, I know. It's not rational. I know who God is. I know I gave myself to the Lord. I don't trust him because of all the disappointments that have gone on in his life. Well, it says the steadfast of mind. That's where it starts to affect is your mind. That will keep in perfect peace when you trust in Christ. You have to put the trust first. How about your emotions? Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Allow it to. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And at the end of that, it's thankfulness is the end result. So trust and thankfulness, those are two things that peace does to your heart and does to your mind. Now, it does say, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So this preparation means readiness, and it also means firm footing. Isn't that interesting? Firm footing. So peace has to be foundational and firm footing in our lives, and it makes for confident faith. So this peace is conquering peace, and it's used by Paul in the salutations in the epistles. Does everybody know what the epistles are? You all shake your head, but most seminary students said that it was the apostles' wives. When they took a survey of seminary students, that said when they asked them what the epistles were, instead of naming, you know, Galatians and Ephesians, they said it was the apostles' wives. No wonder they should be in school. So, that's used in the salutations and the epistles. Blessings and prosperity of life to you. Peace that prevails. Okay. Well, now that's really weird because I never have that on. Yeah. This is my son. I'll go back there. So, peace that prevails. Yeah, I know. Well, they all go to different churches and they've already had church, so. Two kinds of peace for the believer, okay? The peace that prevails, there's two kinds. The peace with God, okay? That's the first thing that we have. When do you get peace with God? That's right. The point of salvation, repentance, the old man's crucified. Colossians 1:20 says, you have peace through the blood of his cross. Now, what does that peace mean? You're reconciled. Yeah, you have peace with the Father. So through the blood of Christ and his cross, you're reconciled. There's no more hostilities between you and God. The dividing wall was broken down, and you have harmony with God. That's the peace with God. You know, when they had the end of the Civil War at Appomattox Courthouse, it was the end of hostilities between the North and the South, and the brothers were united with brother. Because a lot of it was families were broken up, and they were fighting with one another. That's what this means. You have peace. God is not angry. He knows that you have accepted his son as the way to have a relationship with him. The second time, the two kinds of peace, the one with the peace with God and then the peace of God. You have peace of God. We're supposed to. And this is conquering peace, and it's prevailing. And it's the peace that surpasses all comprehension that will guard your heart and your mind. It doesn't say anything about your stomach. Okay? I remember when I put the $25 down to go to Multnomah on Tony's birthday, which was about this time, this 1986, I about upped it on the counter because I was nervous because I knew that God wanted me to go to seminary, but it was like, how are we going to do this? Can't come out of the standard operating budget, which wasn't much, but I just took the step. So the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind and not your stomach. Okay? I knew peacefully that that was supposed to be, but it was like, So this peace is supposed to protect you against anxiety and fear and being fretful and worry. And we're supposed to have that as much as we have the peace with God. But us as believers, sometimes we don't have that. John 14, 27, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." Okay? The sign fell down. "My peace I give to you." If somebody gives you peace or somebody gives you something, do you have to receive it? You don't have to, but it just sits there. You know, if you give somebody a present and they don't open it, even though you gave it to them, they haven't received it. So you have to receive this. You have to take his peace. He's offering it. He says, "My peace I give to you." But you have to take it. You have to accept it. You have to receive it. Okay? So in Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let this peace rule in your heart." And the word for rule is the word for umpire and referee in judging athletic games. That's what it means. Bravo. Bravo. And sounds Italian or something, right? So this is the peace that is like the umpire or the ref in the athletic games. So let the peace of God call the shots. Okay? Let it umpire your life and actions. Let it referee your emotions and decisions. It says, let it. Let the peace do it. Do you let God's peace call the shots in your life? Do you let him umpire your life and actions? Do we let it referee our emotions and decisions? Do you have peace about something? You know, in the World Series in 1985, there was a guy named Don Denkinger, and he was one of the best umpires in the American League. And during the Cardinals and the Royals World Series in Game 6, he blew a call at first base. In fact, they say it's the worst blown call in sports history. And you can look it up. I looked it up. You know, it's all you got to do is put down World Series 1985 or put his name in Don Denkinger. And he blew it. I mean, they played it over and over and over again, and he just blew it. The guy reached first base before the ball hit the mitt of the first of the pitcher who was covering the bag. And that call, basically, if you want to take a long story short, cost them that game and then cost the Cardinals the World Series the next day because the Royals beat them. Whitey Herzog, who was the Cardinals manager, could not let that go. He was so furious, and it ruined the rest of his career. He even went back in the World Series in 87 and got beat by the Twins. He never could let it go. They just chewed on it and chewed on it, and it chewed on him. Now look, you can't let the devil take you on an emotional roller coaster, okay? You've got to let the peace. If God's calling the shots and he's umpiring your actions, you can chew on it over and over and over again, and it will ruin the rest of your career. So, back to the Roman soldier, okay? So he's got these shoes on, and it's got spikes on the bottom, right? He's called to walk on rocky ground and thorny places. I mean, think about anybody been in the Middle East or anybody been in the desert, rabbles and thorns and all kinds of stuff, right? Well, the Roman soldier had to watch because lacerations or a broken foot or leg, you're done. You're done. Remember all the armor that they're carrying? 40 pounds, breastplate, the helmet, all these different things. Well, if a soldier went down, he'd be like an upside down turtle. Right? Because he's got all this stuff on him. And he's vulnerable to being decapitated. That's what would happen. If they fell, the soldiers would lock their shields and cover the person that fell. Because if the person was left out in the field, well, the hordes would just come and off with his head. Another tactic of these barbarians was they would run up to a soldier and kick him in the shins to try to break their legs. Yeah. So, again, that's why this greave is there, made of metal. Try to kick that. You know, it's like a soccer game, you know, people kicking their shins and stuff. Remember The word for the devil is diablos. And do you remember what that word means? Kick, penetrate, hit, 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 hit until he finds a hole. That's what the word means. Kick, 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 kick to penetrate. So God wants to give you not grief, but a grieve to stop that kicking of the enemy who comes and he plays dirty, kicks you in the shins and kicks you when you're down and everything else. He doesn't play fair at all. He didn't sign the Geneva Convention at all. So peace allows you to walk through rocky times, right? Bruised relationships, thorny remarks. You should take your peace. Philippians 4:7, peace keeps your heart and your mind and guards and protects. Romans 16:20, that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Always like that one, right? But you know what? Again, it's looking at these words and finding out what they mean. The bruise is crushing of grapes into wine or crushing of bones. Crushing. That's what that word means. Bruise. Crushing. And then shortly means it's not a duration of time. We think of time like shortly. You know, shortly he's going to be under our feet. It's not. It's takaios, and it means the formation of a marching soldier. He will make them, 16:20? The God of peace shall bruise Satan, crush him, under your feet shortly. And the shortly is the formation of the marching soldiers. Their hard, short, heavy steps echoed in the streets. Well, you can imagine those shoes that had those spikes on them hitting the cobblestones. Chunk, 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 chunk. God forbid if you fell in their way, they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop for anything. We're in their marching formation. They were told, keep marching until you're told something else. And so hard, short, heavy steps echoed in the streets. They stopped for no one. Keep marching. Anything in the way got mowed down. Satan wants you to lay down and not to stand firm in the street. I want you to turn to Isaiah 51. Okay? 51:23. This is one of my, when you say favorite, it's like, yeah, okay. 51:23. This is what this says. And I remember this one for a long time ago, when you just want to give up. Because if you look at all this armor, what we'll get to at the end, it says stand, having therefore stand, stand. It's like three times. Remember, three times stand says. So Satan wants you to lay down and not stand firm in the street so he can walk on you. You need to obey your commander and walk on him in Christ with those spike shoes. Chump, 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 chump. Just like you're in formation and just like you're walking in the streets. Isaiah 51:23, this is what it says. But I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you. And you have laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over. We're supposed to walk on our enemy with those spike shoes in peace instead of laying ourselves like the ground and having him walk all over us. So, who needs to recommit for sure footing, and who has lost their peace and needs to receive it again? I don't know about you, but a lot of times I lose my peace because I get focused. You know, if you're walking straight ahead and the Lord told you to go straight ahead, and there's people in each side of these buildings, let's say, if you're walking down like a street, and they're yelling at you and they're harassing you and this and that. If you even stop and turn and argue with them, you've taken your focus off what you're supposed to be doing. And it's so easy to get distracted and lose your peace. So, you know, we've said this in the ministry a long time. I need to get my peace back. You know, I need to get my peace. And you need to. Well, where do you get your peace? You go into the high tower of God, You get dressed in your armor. That's where they got dressed, and that's where they were, you know, they took them through the different types of, you know, shooting arrows and you know, fighting with swords and stuff like that. And then you come out dressed and ready to go. But sometimes you have to go into the high tower of God and get your peace back and get those shoes fixed. So, the peace with God, we all have that. But do we all have the peace of God? Prevailing, conquering peace, protective peace against anxiety, fear, fretfulness, and worry. That's probably the ones that we miss out on, even though we're believers. You know? So, like we've been doing, I want you to close your eyes, and this is between you and the Lord. And I want you to think about that. Do you need to recommit for sure footing? These things have gotten loose. Your peace has gotten loose. You need to, you know, tie your shoe. You know how it is when you have your shoe untied. You trip over your, you know, laces and fall. And then who's lost their peace and needs to receive it again? You know? And I know that we all know that we have peace with God. He's not at enmity with us. But I think the peace of God is where a lot of times all of us fall short. So, Father, I just pray as we keep our eyes closed that if there is anybody here that needs to just acknowledge to you that they need to recommit for a sure footing and that they need their peace back to receive it, that they just acknowledge that to you and that you see that, Lord. Lord, help us to have the shoes of peace affixed. And Lord, we need to be in marching order, Lord. We don't need to be AWOL all over the place. We need to be in marching order and in formation. And Lord, you know, if something comes in the way, we just need to keep walking. Because you said that you're going to put Satan under our feet and bruise him. And that shortly is those small, hard steps, bang, bang, bang. So, Father, I just really pray that we keep our heart and mind and that you guard and protect it as we rest in you, as we take our peace that you've offered in John 14:27. My peace I give to you, that we need to take this peace that you offer and receive it. And I pray that we all do receive that. In Jesus' name, amen.